I will be continuing on with my message series. We're going through the fruit of the Spirit. And about 2 weeks ago, I spoke on the fruit of faithfulness. And we saw that God is always faithful. And we can have a strong faith through the Holy Spirit who is in us when we follow Jesus. That faith will continue to endure until we hear those wonderful words of Jesus, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And so I'll be looking at our next fruit for this morning. I will read Galatians 5:22 through 23 just to kind of remind us of the fruit, and we'll be seeing what's next for today. Galatians 5:22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." The fruit that we are looking at today is gentleness. And if you were here, wow, this is several weeks ago, when I covered the fruit of patience, I admitted that patience was a difficult fruit for me, one that God is still very much ripening in my life. But if I had to say that there's a second one that still has more ripening to do, gentleness would be that one. It's interesting, though, that patience is very, very closely related to gentleness. They are related. One author wrote this: "If patience is the ability to endure hardship or hostility or criticism without anger, then gentleness is the ability to endure such things without aggression." So patience is enduring without anger. Gentleness is enduring without aggression. To respond without aggression. Gentleness has much to do with our actions and interactions with others. I think that when I first think of that word gentle, I think of actual actions. To have gentle conflict gentle conduct. And if I'm in a conflict, there might be a temptation to lash out physically or aggressively. But looking at gentleness in more general terms, and even through Scripture, I come to realize that gentleness applies to my tongue just as well. If anything, gentleness may be practiced more in words than just actions. I don't often struggle with gentleness in actions. That might have been a struggle, in my past. But for me now, gentleness with how I speak to someone, is especially when I'm frustrated or angry, it's much easier to fall short than that. I'm going to read from Proverbs 15:1. "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." The author of this proverb understood the impact of gentleness in our speech. A gentle answer. If you're reading out of maybe, let's say, the King James, you may say a soft answer. Well, what does that mean? It means to speak with love and encouragement. As the second part would be appropriate, a harsh word or a grievous word or a painful word would stir up anger. In the heat of conflict, why is it easy to say the harsh words? Why do they just come out? I think we can all probably attest to that. It's the words that we think about later and we just feel, why did I say that? To go back and apologize for it is, is what we need to do. But at the same point, most of us probably think, man, I just wish I would have kept my mouth shut. Why do I say those hurtful things that cause pain? Angry words or words spoken out of revenge. Those are the words that tear down. Getting back to gentleness, it is something that affects our actions and words. When looking at gentleness as a fruit, we see that the King James, looking at that Galatians 5 passage, King James will actually say meekness instead of gentleness. Something about that word translated gentle or meek that we have to realize, it's more. It promotes love. It involves humility and respect. It cares for the feelings of others. To give a gentle answer would be an answer that is taking into account their feelings. How we say it, the tone we use, or our actions that we take. Will our actions be harsh? But it might be easy to see gentleness as weakness, though. I think that that's why many translations move away from using that word meek. Because that word tends to trigger, at least for me, it triggers the idea of weakness. And that's not what it means. In the time of the Apostle Paul, it was unmanly to be gentle or meek. It wasn't a sought-after virtue. So that's why the Apostle Paul is really having to point out these fruits and to share them for us to know and to look out for. But this one, gentleness, was one at that time would have been considered unmanly to have. Especially for men in that time, they would have thought real men were strong, they were powerful, they were dominant, and they had to make sure everyone knew it. So that means that the men at that time had to prove their strength and dominance. And you can kind of get the idea then, with if that was kind of the goal, then patience and gentleness were really not sought after. So for patience and gentleness to be considered valuable, it contradicted that time. But I wonder how different are we? A gentle man today might be thought of by some as a weak man. Maybe he doesn't stick up for things. Maybe he keeps his mouth quiet. Or the words he says are loving and caring, but he doesn't really keep his feet planted. A gentle woman might be thought of by some as a woman who hasn't found her independence yet. A woman that deeply cares about those around them, is willing to I don't know where I was going to go with that, but you get the idea. Today we might think in the same way that a gentle man or a gentle woman might be someone that's lacking. But these are obvious lies, an attack on something that is good that's from the Lord. Gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness is from the Lord. It is good. Meek and gentle and humble, to be polite, carry a similarity that our interactions with others are important, and how we speak and treat others is to build up and not to tear down. To encourage, not discourage. To love, not hurt. As I already said, gentleness doesn't mean weakness. We can be gentle, yet not be pushovers either. It doesn't mean that we get trampled on if we're gentle. But it's taking into account of other people's feelings, how we say things, how our actions are. Yet I feel that a truly gentle person is really a person who is strong. And I think about it in this way. If I'm in the midst of a conflict, let's say a good conflict, I am going to have the urge to lash out. Does it take more strength to hold that in or to let it fly? And next week is self-control. And now you can see how those two are related. But I think it takes a stronger person to show gentleness. It takes a stronger man, a stronger woman to show gentleness. And it takes the Lord's help in growing those, growing that. But gentleness is its own fruit. And so we know that we need to cultivate this fruit and to grow it with the help of the Holy Spirit. It means we need to be intentional with our gentleness. We need to be intentional with our relationships. We need to be intentional with patience. We need to be intentional with gentleness. So how is the fruit in you? Just to get you thinking. Have you struggled with the lie that gentleness is weakness? Would you say that you are a gentle person? Maybe we need to look at some more examples. And I think gentleness is truly seen best in the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. If you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40, starting with verse 11. Isaiah 40, verse 11. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power. Verse 10. I got ahead of myself here. Isaiah 40, 10. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. Now, we're going to read the next verse here in just a moment, but this verse, we get a picture of the sovereign God, meaning he alone is the supreme authority. He comes with what? He comes with power. His arm rules. We're getting a picture of this strong and powerful God who comes to rule. He gives rewards and he compensates those who are worthy. Yet as we read on to the next verse, we're going to see a little different picture. And we're given a picture of how this sovereign Lord relates to those who are faithful to him in verse 11. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. We start out with a sovereign God who rules with his strong arm. But then, right next, we see that he doesn't rule with that strong arm like we think it would mean. Instead, we see he's a very, very much like a gentle, loving shepherd who tends to the flock and gathers the valuable, the vulnerable in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart, and he gently leads. He has all the power and the authority of a strong king, but he looks more like a gentle shepherd by the way he cares. Gentleness has nothing to do with power or strength. It has to do with how you care and lead and interact with others. God has nothing to prove of how strong he is. So oftentimes we may fall into that trap that that we need to show that we're the strong ones, and we need to put our foot down on things. Show that we're in charge. God has nothing to prove here. He is in charge, but He shows His love by the way He treats us. Like a gentle shepherd caring for those. I'm also reminded of Elijah in the Old Testament after he called for the priests and prophets of Asherah and Baal to see whose God was real. God showed up in a mighty way and gave Elijah the ability to be victorious over all the priests. And if you're not really sure what I'm talking about or you don't remember the story, please write down 1 Kings 18. It's a good one. It's good. 1 Kings 18. Read that whole story with Elijah and those prophets of Baal. But after Elijah was victorious and he defeated all these prophets and priests, we see a short time later, Elijah's hiding and depressed and fearful. God could have been like, Elijah, after all I've done for you, this is how you're going to respond? You're just going to go into hiding and be afraid after giving you the victory over these priests? God could have been kind of like, well, you don't trust me anymore, so I guess you're out on your own. But that's not what the story, that's not how things unfold. You see, we see God as this caring shepherd again. Elijah is talking to the Almighty God, and he's saying that they're going to kill him, and that he's all alone, and that nobody cares. Everybody's out to get him. Elijah, he kind of forgot that God was there for him. Elijah kind of forgot that if God is for him, who can be against him? Who can destroy him? It seems a bit silly when you look at the full story, but we cannot deny that we are often like Elijah. God does something mighty in our life, and the next minute we're going, oh, woe is me, and start complaining. But God is a caring shepherd. He's patient. He isn't offended, but He loves us. So I'm going to read some of this about Elijah and 1 Kings chapter 19. I'll be starting with verse 10. And we'll see how God interacts a little more with Elijah. 1 Kings 19, verse 10. He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with a sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. So we hear Elijah telling God, this is what's happening, as if God didn't know. And the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. So God is still calling Elijah. He's wanting to have that interaction with Elijah. So Elijah's feeling down. He's feeling like everyone's out to get him, like he's about to be killed. Yet God is saying, I want you to come and be in my presence. Just come outside. The powerful God, He was not in the wind. The mighty God was not in the earthquake, and He wasn't in the fire, but He came in a gentle whisper. like a gentle shepherd. He speaks gently to us. Not that he cannot speak forcefully, because we do see that there are times he is more forceful. But if we're not careful, we might miss his gentle voice. We can be so consumed about things happening around us that we might miss his gentle voice that's whispering to us. Just be still. Be in my presence. I'd like to read another passage out of Zechariah 9:9. Kind of the last one that I'll be looking at in the Old Testament. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. This is a prophetic verse that we've come to know is a verse that is pointing towards Jesus. We know that this passage is pointing toward the coming Christ. And the interesting thing about this is the picture we see about the king who comes riding in, who's righteous and having salvation. You know, a lot of times in that time, a king would ride in on a war horse, kind of showing the mighty strength and showing that they're a victor in battle. But here we see a different picture, that the king who is righteous and who's bringing salvation is described as gentle. He's not riding on a war horse, but instead he's riding on a young donkey. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who has been given all authority and power, does not rule with an authoritative hard hand, but instead, he's described as being gentle. We see a little more about Jesus in Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Trying to look at the context of what this is, well, who is Jesus talking to? You know, those who are weary and burdened, who are they? Are they just weary and burdened because of life? Or are they the ones that have been trying to earn favor with God, trying to keep the letter of the law that's been pushed by the religious leaders? All the rules that the Pharisees have put together have made it a burden and weary to keep. I like how Jesus says, just come, and I'll give you rest. He isn't screaming, try harder. He isn't demanding that we be perfect. I think sometimes churches are good at this. Maybe I've fallen into this at times, where you just got to keep trying harder. You got to try and be perfect. But without the Holy Spirit, that goes nowhere. Jesus is saying, just come. Just come and I'll give you rest. You're not going to be perfect, but I've got that taken care of. It's an invitation for each of us personally, an invitation to trust Him as He leads us. And He says, take on His yoke. Well, what does a yoke mean? A yoke is to tie two things together. So Jesus has a yoke. you didn't know that, he does. Okay, he does have some expectations for us. He does have some commands for us to follow. Jesus isn't an anything goes person. But he's saying, first, come to me. Come to me. He's gentle. And he's humble. And when we go to him, we will find that rest. He tells us at the end, he goes, my yoke is easy, for my burden is light. Yeah, oftentimes we add a whole lot of things to commands and a whole lot of extra baggage to things that we think we need to do in order to earn God's favor. But he's already saying, I'm already in favor of you. Just come. Yeah, there's going to be things you're going to have to change in your life, because we have to have that transformed life through the Holy Spirit. He helps us to become more like Christ. But that's easy compared to trying to earn our way to have favor, because we'll never earn it when it's a gift. We're going to fall short, but because of Jesus, we'll be victorious with him and given salvation. That whole picture shows a gentle Jesus. And I would like to share some more. This was from another author. The gentleness of Jesus was tested most severely, of course, through the arrest, trial, and crucifixion. When Jesus was arrested, he could have called on 12 legions of angels to protect him, but he didn't. When he was facing trials before the Jewish court and the Roman one, he could have answered every charge with an angry rebuttal. But he remained mostly silent. When they were nailing him to the cross, he could have called down curses on his enemies. But he didn't. He prayed to his Father to forgive them. And in the midst of his agony on the cross, he thought of the needs of his mother and entrusted her to the care of his disciples. That's a whole picture of gentleness, not aggression, not anger. The Apostle Peter highlighted this in his letter in 1 Peter 2:22. Actually, I think I'm missing some here. 1 Peter 2:22 through 23. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. They hurled their insults at him. He did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Can we see the fruit of gentleness in Jesus? Oh, yeah. Most of us, if we're honest with ourselves, would struggle to follow in those same footsteps. We would struggle. Let's look at 1 Peter 3, 14 through 16. Gentleness is something that needs to be found in us no matter what we face. And let's read that, 1 Peter 3:14. But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed for their slander. Gentleness, like with Christ, can and should be found in adversity. It should be found everywhere. Philippians 4:4 through 5. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. This was something that we kind of looked at in the fruit of joy. But if we continue on in verse 5, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Whether in adversity or in times of praise, our gentleness is something to always strive for. Our gentleness needs to be evident to all. It's to everyone. Ephesians 4, 1 through 2. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Yeah, we keep hitting on some of these words, humble and gentle and patient. They're related, they're different. It's pride and harshness, impatience, a lack of love that tear apart relationships. And that's not what we're called to be, we're called to do. Gentleness is a character of Christ, and that is to be in us so that others will be drawn to Christ. As we follow Christ, the Holy Spirit will prompt us. If we're open to hearing His gentle whisper, He'll let us know in the times that we can work on this fruit. Yeah, when we're in a rage, we're probably not going to hear the whisper. But if we would just be open to hear, He'll help us. And that this fruit can grow. Even when we might be thinking this fruit is too hard, too difficult. The Holy Spirit wants to grow it in each and every one of us. And that's my prayer. My prayer is that we would all be challenged in this. And we ask God, give me more gentleness. What does that mean? He's going to give us more opportunities to show gentleness. Yeah. Yeah.